Today, some of you who do not have a missal, which not all of you do, and you should have a missal. I cannot read everything now for you. I cannot spoon-feed you the pablum of the liturgy. You have to do some of it for yourselves. You have noticed that there's been a different order of things. It is Ember Wednesday. And Ember days fall at least twice a year, sometimes three times. And they are the days in which the church, since the time of the apostles, prays for those who are to be ordained. In our case here, in our own parish, we have our son, Brother Aaron, who will be ordained a deacon in just a few weeks. It's getting closer and closer. You know, for him, it must be maddening, but at the same time, very exciting. I remember it was indeed very exciting. But these young men who are to be ordained need a lot of prayers. This is the time in which the devil does all kinds of things to keep them from being ordained. So pray for him. And the others in our diocese, there are five who are going to be ordained in May or June or whenever. Either way, the church prays. And of course, the messages of the readings are so many, we could be here till next week and I would not finish telling you about them. But we have, in particular, the gospel that our Lord gives to us today and the church gives to us on this day. And the fact is that we need to follow Christ fully. If we did not follow Christ fully, if we did not seek to understand, therefore, the missals, that which is given to us, our Lord feeds us. But he's not going to stick his hand in your mouth and force you to eat. If you don't wish to take it, if you don't wish to eat it, if you don't wish to swallow it, then that's your tough luck. And you know what happens to people who don't eat? Eventually, they grow weak and they die. This also in the spiritual life. Of course, that's why the church is in such a mess. Because people are not doing the things that they should be doing. And of course, that in great part is the fault of the clergy. Here we try to give you whatever you need, but obviously I'm not God. I cannot do everything for you. Even God doesn't do everything for you. So, our Lord gives us these lessons from the Old Testament, how Moses went up on the mountain and he came down and they were all carrying out awful, evil things. And of course, we see that in our own day. And then in the Gospel, we see that our Lord Jesus Christ gives us these very important messages for ourselves. And of course, he says this is an evil and wicked generation. It seeks a sign. And many people do not believe just because they are told by God, through the church, through the priests, for those of us who do preach the truth, they seek signs, they want miracles right and left. And you know, what's interesting is there are miracles right and left. As I mentioned to you yesterday, there was the occasion, the miracle in a sense. Yesterday was the anniversary of my first Holy Communion. But it's also the anniversary of the last time I gave communion to my best friend and brother and son in Christ, who was also like a father to me in many ways, who had protected me from evil. It was the last time I gave him Holy Communion. That in itself was a miracle of God. Nobody planned that. I certainly didn't. And then the next day, of course, I was beside myself. And the acolyte that was here in the morning put out the candles after Mass. Everybody saw it. And then nobody else saw this, but all of a sudden I saw him, and the Mass today, tomorrow, and the next day are for him, as he requested. He who worked for many years for our parish for free. every single day. And he, I saw him come up on the altar and light the candles. And the acolyte says, I put them out. I says, yes, I know. It was Evie who lit them again. I saw him. I just saw him. You didn't see him? Nobody else saw it. Miracles are all around us. You just have to be able to understand them and read them. Of course, that doesn't mean that we need to make up stuff just because we want people to think that we are so pious and holy and want miracles. That is not the case. But miracles are all around us. And I can attest to many, many, many miracles in my own life. And I'm sure if you were to really think about it, you will have had many miracles in your own life. And so we need to recognize the Lord. And our Lord says in the Old Testament reading, the first one today, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And what does that mean? That there will be a time that he will not be found. But you will seek him and seek him and seek him, and you will not find him. And so it's very important that we seek the Lord while he may be found. In addition, today, it's a very, very special day because for us in this parish, where we have mostly the Gregorian rite of the Mass and Gregorian chants, it is a feast in the Gregorian rite of Pope St. Gregory the Great, whose window adorns our parish back here. Of course, when I had the windows put in, I chose that because of the fact of the Gregorian rite. Pope St. Gregory was a regular person. He was the governor of the city of Rome. When everything fell apart, there were armies and brigands and earthquakes and fires and murders everywhere. He wrote, there were swords everywhere. And they were being brandished by all kinds of brigands. Many Romans were slain because of this. And so he undertook to become the prefect of the city. And then Pope St. Pelagius died. And the whole city got together. There was no pope to name another bishop or pope. There were no college of cardinals that could meet. So all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove fell upon him, and everybody saw it. And a little boy, very similar to St. Ambrose in Milan, Gregory, for bishop. Bishop of what? Bishop of Rome, which means Pope, Supreme Pontiff of the whole Church. This was in 590 AD. And he ruled the Church and codified so many things, including the Mass and the Gregorian chants, which are both named after him, and many, many, many other things. His home he gave to a monastery, which is still there, the monastery of St. Andrew and St. Gregory, after him. And he ruled the Church for about 15 years, and then it was his time to go, but he has never been forgotten. He is one of the four doctors of the Latin Church around the throne of St. Peter in the Vatican. There are the doctors of the Church from the east and from the west. And there you will see St. Gregory standing next to the cathedra of St. Peter. And by the way, Catholic trivia, which some people have heard, some have not. Those statues in that throne are so big that the mitres of the bishops, including St. Gregory, are 8 feet tall. Just the hat, the mitre. So imagine the statues are about 40, 45 feet tall. They're incredibly big and beautiful, but you would never know it from afar. They all look like they're the regular size. And of course, I have said Mass there and prayed there hundreds of times in the years that I was a seminarian and a young priest at the Vatican. So my heart goes to St. Peter's Basilica, and at the same time, whether Francis is dying or not, that's up to God, not up to us. He will die, and we will need a successor. So we need to pray to St. Gregory the Great for a successor that will be traditional and that will be strong, and that will start cleaning out the murky waters with which the Church is filled and surrounded. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.